Welcome to the eGovernance Academy podcast to discover the future of governance. Tune in for the Digital Government podcast every Wednesday.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Digital Government podcast. This is your usual host, Federico Plantera, journalist, sociologist, and researcher. And today we have with us Mohammad Morshidi, who is coming from Malaysia, precisely from the state of Sarawak. And he's the chairman of the Sarawak Digital Economy Corporation and as well of the Center of Technical Excellence. So, Mohammad Morshidi, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
What we will address today is, we're talking obviously about a state and a country that are far, far, far away from Estonia, from home Estonia, let's say, for us. But nonetheless, Sarawak is embarking, or better, has already started embarking on a journey of digital transformation towards making the economy and the society more digital. Something that in Europe, obviously, we're fully aware, let's say, of the importance of that, considering that for many years we've had the Digital Economy and Society Index, which assesses in the old continent, let's say, the different measures of efficiency and effectiveness of digital tools in society. But Sarawak already, after the pandemic, a bit more with a new strategy, but Morshidi will tell us more about it, of course, has pushed even more towards this direction. And so what we're trying to understand today is indeed what is Sarawak's way towards digital transformation. Morshidi, I would start exactly from how the program or the intentions, let's say, or the plans kicked off in Sarawak. Meaning, what happened in the state that made the government and also the society at large and like stakeholders and interested organizations understand that there has to be more of a push at that state level towards digitalization? What did you see that needed to be done in that sense?
Yeah. Well, in 2017, we came to Estonia, actually, in 2017. And we know Estonia is the world most digitalized economy in the region. We wanted to embark on a digital economy as part of our new initiative to develop Sarawak. So the whole concept of digital economy has to be based on some success story. So Estonia was seen as the country that we should learn from. We went to Estonia in 2017, and the rest is history. We start embarking on learning a lot from Estonia, and not only Estonia, we went to other countries as well. And we developed a digital economy strategy so that we can achieve a certain level of performance in terms of how the government, how the people, and how the private sector can ride on this digital economy initiative that the government has embarked on. So henceforth, the agenda was set out, how are we going to secure our future in this modern and leading digital economy and society. From that year, 2018, and now we are going into a new strategy, which is 2030 Sarawak post-COVID development strategy, riding on innovation and data. So we have developed a good blueprint on which covers 5 pillars. And they are the economic growth, where we put priorities in agriculture, manufacturing, services, mining, forestry, and tourism, because these are the niche area that we have in terms of our economic sectors. So we're focusing on, of course, accelerating the digitalization, data monetization, and boosting the economic competitiveness. Now, the second area that we are focusing now is on growing digital businesses, which means we are supporting and growing globally the competitive and vibrant technology sector, including the startups in Sarawak. Yeah? And the area which is most important, of course, transforming the public sector and the services. The government services must be excellent. We want to deliver efficient, secure, and most trusted services and improve the ease of doing business. That's what the private sector wants. Yeah? That's how the economy grow, actually. And of course, the adoption of frontier technologies. We want to have the economy which is enabled through the collaboration or through the learning from new technologies and transform our economy using the new technology as well as to grow the economy as well. And finally, we want to build a foundation which accelerates the digital readiness, especially in terms of infrastructure, connectivity, data governance, cybersecurity, talent, skills, research, innovation, entrepreneurship, and of course, finally, the inclusivity.
Marcelo, the scope in terms of topics, I mean, is very, very wide-ranging. But it's also wide-ranging in a sense the look forward of this type of strategy. Now, because you mentioned that, for example, the year of the latest strategy that has been planned out is 2030, no? Like the horizon, let's say, for that strategy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the Sarawak Digital Economy Corporation was, if I'm not wrong, operationalized, let's say, just 2 years ago, no? Like in the summer of 2020.
Yes.
It's interesting that it happened then, considering that summer of 2020, we were just globally 2 months in the pandemic, no?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My question on that would be, did that bring any sort of like sense of urgency, let's say, maybe like in government representatives or in organizations in the private sector in the region, that really like there had the moment for the push had to happen now because there was like a certain momentum, even though 3 years had passed since your visit to Estonia?
Yeah, when you look at transformation, you don't wait for the pandemic to be over, only then you start the transformation. So we want to plan ahead. Actually, opportunities happen before the COVID and during the COVID, not after the COVID. So that's why when you talk about the Digital Economy Corporation was initiated way back in late 2019, actually. And we already embarked on a lot of programs, even though that time was pandemic. We focus on largely initially on our infrastructure, meaning to say we want to reach every single person in the state and they have internet connectivity. During the pandemic, internet connectivity become the order of the day.
Essential.
Yes. You're talking about education, you're talking about food delivery, service delivery or through the e-commerce and so forth. So it becomes so important. So our timing was right. We developed it way back in 2019 and we start running actually. We didn't walk, we were running during those period of time. So now I must say we are so good in these areas. And we are expecting that we will be driving the issue of infrastructure by 2023, we will cover the whole of state with at least 95% of internet connectivity. So that will be a big achievement. So that will be the first focus of the Digital Economy Corporation.
95% in terms of a mix, probably like hybrid of mobile network connection and physical infrastructure, no?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Correct, yeah.
No, because in any case, I was reading, when I was getting educated about the state of Sarawak, which in any case, as an Italian, it's not that before I had heard very often, let's say, being on the opposite part of the world, then I was seeing that indeed the territory of the region does not really, really help, let's say, in favoring connectivity, no?
Correct.
So...
Well, we are very much like Estonia. I was in Narva 2 days ago.
Nice, interesting.
Narva, yeah. Right at the border with Russia.
Yes, and?
So I can see that the landscape is very close to what we have in Sarawak. You know, the infrastructure, the connectivity, and the ruralness of some of these areas is quite similar to us.
I was just about to mention the rural-urban, let's say, type of divide in that sense, because sometimes, like, even though Estonia maybe, like, geographically or morphologically speaking, it could be considered like a good territory to have connectivity because it's mostly like a flatland, let's say, apart from certain areas. Still, like, it's the density of the population and where the people are located that
correct
often are indeed like the problem in covering connectivity. But to get to the point of, like, indeed also one of the also apart from the interesting projects, of course, one of the reasons why we are talking is also because the government of Sarawak is working together with e-governance academy in order to at least what has been done so far is a digital readiness assessment, if I'm not wrong.
Correct.
Which is also one of the, in Sarawak, it was, or better, Sarawak itself is one of the first examples of when we restyled that, let's say, rather than shifting from maturity to readiness assessment. So speaking of readiness, no, what are the fundamentals that you are sort of like starting from in Sarawak, considering the tools and the technological tools themselves, meaning... We know, and we have talked about in other episodes, in conference talks and keynotes, that there have to be certain key enablers in place, such as digital identity, by means of a unique identifier. Doesn't necessarily have to be an electronic ID card, could be something else. So digital identity, interoperability. Like, in this sense, what can we see at the moment in Sarawak, let's say, in terms of enablers, or what are you working on getting prepped up for working properly, let's say?
Well, if you talk about technology, it's available anyway. I think Estonia is quite advanced in terms of applications and solutions that you have developed so far. But in our context of readiness, our real focus is about not just technology, it's the readiness of how people uptake or accelerate their knowledge in the digital world and the use of the digital solutions that's been developed all over the place, the fintech, the e-commerce, the IR 4.0. But the other aspect of readiness is about our talent. Is our talent ready to support all the technology? Is our talent ready to build new applications, new solutions that we can be almost like self-sustained, you know? We don't have to worry about going out there and looking for the solutions. We can develop it inside. So, and as well as developing startups who can actually build a lot of digital solutions that can bring the economy to greater heights. And of course, the other aspect of it is the readiness of our rural people, which actually is connected to the infrastructure. If we don't have the infrastructure, and we don't have the skills that to be impart into to the rural people, then we'll have that challenge. So all this readiness has to be in place. It in one aspect of the word is inclusivity. So we can reduce the digital divide. We can address whatever issues that has been founded by e-governance in their study. And they should be able to show us where are the areas that we need to pay more attention. Where are the shortfalls? You know, where are the weaknesses in terms of our initiatives or our program? So this is a total sort of whole ambit of readiness that we want to address. It's not just about technology.
No, exactly. The technological point that I was bringing up is indeed the more hardware part of it, let's say, of digital transformation. Then there is the one that pertains exactly to the social and economic impact that it can have, which I can hear that is like the area in focus at the moment.
But
based on that, actually, and on the fact that technology potentially is there and that can be adapted, let's say, to different purposes and goals, so that it doesn't have to be used or seen or regarded in the same way as it did in other countries. Here I am reintroducing a little bit the thing that I said in the beginning and in the introduction, which is You, in 2017, came to Estonia, visited Estonia, and saw what was, how digitalization essentially happened here. Because here it happened, in any case, decades ago, like 2-3 decades ago by now. And the society, of course, like had to work on incorporating the impact and the change that came from innovation and the use of technology, the technological uptake. So Estonia had its own path to digitalization, no? And what I am wondering is, in Sarawak, how do you see, what are the points of, since you also mentioned, there are some similarities between the state of Sarawak and Estonia, like, what do you think are the similarities that you could see happening or that you are already seeing at work in Sarawak with the Estonian experience? The reason why I'm asking that is also because obviously, like many of our listeners are already familiar, let's say, with the story of e-Estonia, no? So of how Estonia became like a digital country. This could, I think, help them also, like, even further than currently, put Sarawak on the map of digitalization to understand indeed what are the differences and the similarities with a path that is already known, but also with a path that is all in the making. So it's even like more exciting up to a certain point in that sense. What do you think are the similarities and differences then?
Yeah, I think the direction that both countries are trying to take is similar. For example, you are driving e-government service to the maximum. I was told that 99% of the government service have been digitalized in Estonia, which probably in 2017 is probably around 70 or whatever percent it was. So I'm very happy that that's an area that we are also driving, and which I think we can learn a lot from what Estonia has done. And the other aspect of it is, when I came this time, I found that a lot of your applications and solutions is driven by the private sector. And people who has worked with government before, now gone into private sector and develop solutions which is best for the government. I think that's one area that we want to learn, partly, as well as to drive, so that our private sector must really accelerate their involvement and their participation in bringing in solutions for the government. And the country, by way of this kind of symbiotic relationship, yeah, can drive the digital economy, the transformation at a very fast rate. So I'm happy that this is an area there's similarity in terms of both initiative or vision of the two countries. And I of course I'm impressed by the fact that Estonia gone beyond its border to actually bring in more businesses to the country, like your e-residency, for example, and your X-Road, which actually is now a global operation system that is being adopted by many countries. Meaning to say, there is an effort by Estonia to go beyond their borders. So this is one lesson learned that we can take back to our country, which we can actually bring in more participation from outside the country and reaching the people out there so that they can bring business to the country as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is perfectly in line with a number that we have not introduced so far. But when we were talking about the Sarawak Development Strategy for 2030, then there's also the plan to essentially almost double the current GDP of the region.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
Yes. Yep.
So, I mean, that is definitely an effort that will have, probably, I assume, necessarily have to involve a great amount of, like, export, in the, like, increasing the export of the local companies, but at the same time, I mean, just increasing the sheer internationalization, not just of the companies themselves in terms of the market shares that they find abroad, but also in terms of the human resources, of the human capital that they have, you know, in terms of attracting people and really presenting Sarawak as this powerhouse, let's say, of the region in terms of technological development. One thing that I wanted to ask you, actually, you went exactly into one of the points that I was about to bring up, which is the public-private partnership type of thing. Marcidi, you also have a transfer of this kind, no, in your personal history? That, because before you entered the public sector in 1998, am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
But before, in any case, you were not in the public sector.
Yeah.
So you know exactly how this transfer also, let's say, can bring something to the economy. In that sense, how would you assess today, at the moment, the status of this private-public knowledge transfer, partnerships between companies and government happening in Sarawak? And how do you see it, like what direction do you see it going to, let's say, in the very near future? And I think that on this, we can also wrap, like heading towards the wrap-up of the episode. How do you see those relations at the moment going?
Well, there's always been good relationship between the partners, between private sectors and the government. But what is lacking is probably is what you have here, which is the X route. We have no real established or coordinated data which the private sector can use for their businesses. And the very core thing of it is about ease of doing business. This is core in the both government and private sector partnership. Well, of course, the relationship has always been good. There's no issue. But how actually government services, government data can be made use by the private sector to enhance their businesses and to contribute to the economy. And this is probably one area that we can actually learn from Estonia. We can actually adopt some of the approaches that Estonia has been doing in trying to drive that kind of relationship between the private sector and the government services and the public sector.
Yeah, because for context, I will just complement what has been said for the listeners by saying that indeed X-Road in Estonia, but also like in other places in the world, does not simply connect, let's say, government to government agencies, but also it has private companies that are offering services to the citizens connected to that. Obviously, there have to be like the checks and data access privacy rules, of course, that are in order for data to be protected and for citizens to feel like they can trust the system. But this is exactly the other side of this knowledge transfer that I was mentioning. Now, for me, I was referring a bit more about the thing that you yourself highlighted of people shifting from the public to the private sector, for example, and then transferring expertise. But at the same time, also indeed, like data is knowledge transfer, and especially contributes to providing a service better in what could be called a digital economy and society as a whole, because of course it's the inclusivity that you were mentioning before.
Yeah, correct.
Moshiri,
just one point. I want to
even more than one.
Add. Issue of talent. Talent is always a challenge. Like you happening in Estonia now, people from the government sector moving to the private sector, so you are going to be short of somebody in the government sector. But of course, if you continue to grow the talent, to give the talent the opportunity to experience both private and government sector, it helps the economy well. It helps the driving the transformation of our digital economy at a faster rate. I believe in that. So this is probably the good approach that I think it's not negative when they talk about people in the government moving to private sector. It should be vice versa.
Yeah, I think that maybe there has been for some time a little bit of a stigma, let's say, on this type of job changes. But I mean, apart from the example of Estonia and those ones of other places, I mean, we definitely see that there needs to be a bit more, like the two sectors need to be less siloed, let's say, you know, like less separate with these obstacles. X-Road, in a bit of like an existential / metaphorical / technological way, also does this, let's say, of interconnecting the different sectors. But, Moshiri, I think we can... this is actually a very good, hopeful way to wrap up the podcast episode. So, I would close it here. And actually, thanks. Thank you a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Probably this is the first time I speak in a radio in Estonia, and I don't know whether this is going to be a public broadcast.
It is, so, and you did great, so you don't have to worry about it.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you for giving the opportunity.
Of course. And thanks again for joining, but also thanks again, as usual, to all our listeners for joining again. And that's it from your host, Federico Plantera. And just see you at the next episode.
This podcast is brought to you by eGovernance Academy. Tune in on next Wednesday.